Mishnah is in the very beginning of the third parak of Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says that Akavya ben Mahalal Aimer, Akavya ben Mahalal said, Istakel b'shleisha dvarim, if you consider three things, the ein ato boli de aveiro, it will prevent you from coming to do an aveiro. Dame ayim boso, ula'ana toheilech, ulifnei mi ato osid liten din v'cheshbin. Me'ayim boso mitipos rucho, la'ana toheilech imkoim ofo, rimo v'seileo, ולפני מי אתו עושד ליתן דין וחשבן? Who are you eventually going to have to give a din וחשבן? לפני מלך מלכי המלוכים הקדוש ברוך הוא. The fact that a person will always retain in his mind the awareness and the understanding that eventually he'll have to give a din v'cheshbon to the Ribbono Shel Olam is one of the means, is one of the vehicles that can prevent a person or can deter a person from doing an aveira. All the mefarshim on this Mishnah ask, what is the significance of this seemingly double expression, din v'cheshbon? V'chura, din and cheshbon are one of the same thing, except that it's two synonymous words for the same thing. But in reality, one would assume that din and cheshbon are the same concepts. At the end of the pirush of the Goyen of Vilna on Mishnayis, the Goyen's pirush on Mishnayis is called Shneis Eliyahu. If you look in Mishnayis Zroim, the end of his pirush there, you'll find a collection of different pshatim that the Gaon of Vilna said on a variety of mishnayos, which is called Likutim Mehagro, a collection from the Gaon of Vilna. And if you look there, the Gaon of Vilna says pshat in the expression din v'cheshbon, that every time a person is judged by the Ribbono Shel Olam, he's judged from two angles. Misad echad, he's judged on the actual act that he did. To what degree was the act that the person did a negative act? To what degree was the severity of the aveira, for example, that the person did? That's called din, says the Goyim. However, every time that a person utilizes his time to do an aveira, during that period of time which it takes him to do the aveira, he could theoretically have been doing a mitzvah, or he could theoretically have been learning the Torah. Now, there are certain things which a person has to do in life, because if he doesn't do them, he can't survive. For example, a person has to sleep, a person has to eat, a person has to find a way of making a parnasa. That's a hechrach. But when a person does an aveira, it's not a hechrach. When a person utilizes his time to do an aveira, that's a choice that he makes. So if so, says the Goyen, besides the punishment that the person is going to get on the actual Aveira that he did, according to the severity of the Aveira that he did, he'll get an additional Einish on the fact that during the period of time that it took him to do the Aveira, he was mevatel himself from either Limud Torah or from doing a mitzvah. Says the Goyen, that's the pshat. A person, if he understands and he knows that eventually he's going to have to give a din, that eventually he's going to be punished for the actual Aveira that he did, and on top of that, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make a cheshbon, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to make a calculation. During that time that you did the Aveira, how much Torah could you have learned? Or how many mitzvahs could have you been mekayim? And he's going to punish you for that as well. Maybe that will act, says the Mishnah, as a deterrent for the person from doing an Aveira. However, there is a biur of the Goyen which he wrote on Pirkei Avos. There is a biur agro to Pirkei Avos. And if you look in the biur agro to Pirkei Avos, you find that he says a different pshat there as to what din v'cheshben means. And if you analyze carefully what the Goyen is saying in his biur agro on Avos, he gives a very interesting explanation as what's meant by din and what's meant by cheshbon. But I'll phrase it in more contemporary language than the Goyen uses. The Goyen says that klapei shmaya, in the eyes of God, there are certain things which are the correct thing to do, and there are certain things which are not the correct thing to do. God has a system of what is considered to be tzedek eloiki, what is considered to be the right thing in the eyes of God to do, and what is considered to be the wrong thing in the eyes of God to do. And his infinite kindness and in his infinite wisdom, God decided to share with us what in his eyes he sees as being the right thing to do and what in his eyes he sees as being the wrong thing to do. And he shares it with us by telling us what are the right things to do and what are the wrong things to do. And that's what we call Torah, or what we call Shulchan Aruch. The objective right thing to do and the objective wrong thing to do in the eyes of God. And there will come a point where every individual, says the Goyen, will have to stand in front of the Beis Din Shalmaila and he will have to justify himself as to whether he did that which in the eyes of God is considered to be the right thing to do, or that which in the eyes of God is considered to be the wrong thing to do. That, says the Goyen of Vilna, is called din. Din refers to what objectively, halachically, is considered to be the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. Cheshbon, says the Goyen, means something else. Cheshbon, says the Goyen, means did what you did fit, not with God's objective definition of what's right or what's wrong, but within your definition of what's right and what's wrong. Have you led your life consistently, not in terms of Torah, but in terms of your own decisions as to what is right and what is wrong? And what the Goyen is trying to say is the following. It is possible that a certain action in the eyes of God, when you're looking objectively, halachically, is incorrect. In the eyes of God, the action that you did is per se a negative action. However, because the individual has a certain nature, because the individual has a certain type of personality, because the individual was educated in a certain type of environment, because the individual grew up in a certain type of family and in a certain type of society, one could theoretically justify the action that he did. That even though the action in and of itself, in the eyes of God, is negative, nevertheless, the reason why he did the action is not because he wanted to rebel against God. It's not because he was making a statement. It's because that's his nature. And his nature, or his environment, or his education, or his genetics, were the reason that motivated the fact that he did the action. Let's, for example, take a simple idea. There is a concept of tzedakah. There is a concept of giving tzedakah. Within the concept of giving tzedakah, there are a variety of mitzvahs asay, and there are a variety of mitzvahs lois asay. And the Rambam in Hilchas Matnas Aniyim in Perek Zayin lays them out very clearly. What are the mitzvahs asay, and what are the mitzvahs lois asay within the framework of the mitzvah of giving tzedakah? Now, it's very possible that a person fails to give tzedakah. And if he fails to give tzedakah objectively in the eyes of God, objectively in the perspective of pure halacha, he's done something which is a negative act. He has not given tzedakah. However, one can sometimes justify the fact that somebody doesn't give tzedakah, because the fact that he's not giving tzedakah doesn't represent by that individual an act of merida, an act of rebellion against the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's not trying to make a statement by the fact that he doesn't give tzedakah. He's simply a miserly individual. That's his nature. By nature, he is a miser. By nature, he's a kantzen. By nature, he can't give out money. And this nature completely controls him. Every time he has to pay for something, even, he gets sick. Every payment, however small it is, becomes an issue that he has to talk about for weeks and for months, because that's his nature. Now, it can be genetic, because he belongs to a certain race. It can be environmental, because he grew up in an environment of katzonos. Or it could be he was born with such a nature. But he's not mesugel to give out money. But what are we going to say about a person whose nature is the opposite, whose nature is that he's a money waster? When it comes to himself, he wastes money left, right and center. He'll give out huge sums of money on the most stupid and the most ridiculous things. He'll spend millions on a house that he's going to live in maximum if he's lucky, for 40 years. He'll travel all over the world. He'll spend money on the most expensive hotels that exist. But when it comes to buying an esrog on Sukkos, there all of a sudden he becomes the world's biggest kamtzan. If he can find an esrog, which is b'di'evid, b'di'evid, b'di'evid kosher, but it'll cost him 10 bucks cheaper, he's there, first in the queue. Says the Goyim. There he gets slammed by the Ribbono Shel Olam, not because of din. There he gets slammed, says the Goyim, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, because the cheshbon stimmt nicht. Because the calculation is wrong. Even Aliba to his own emes, he's not being consistent. Says the Goyim, every single act that a person does, eventually, when he gets to Beis Din Shel Ma'ilo, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to judge it on two levels. First of all, the actual act in itself, was it positive, was it negative? Does it accord with Torah, does it not accord with Torah? If it does, reward. If it doesn't, punishment. And then the Ribbono Shel Olam does another thing. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, forget about Torah. Were you consistent? Were you consistent in your pazronus, and were you consistent in your kamtzonus? And it's even more than that, says the Goyim. There are situations where mitzad hadin, it's very possible that as far as Shulchan Aruch is concerned, as far as Torah is concerned, you didn't do anything wrong at all. Nevertheless, you'll get slammed for it by the Beis Din Shel Ma'ilo. Why? Because mitzad de cheshben, it doesn't work. Because even though it was muta al pi halacha, mitzad de cheshben, in terms of your consistency, in terms of you yourself, you messed up. Everybody knows. There's a tremendous machloikus as to when is Tzeitzei Kechovim. What's called night? What is the point in time when the new day starts? What is the point in time when the next day starts? Huge machloikus between the Goyim of Vilna and Rabbeinu Tam. What's the practical nafkamina? When does Shabbos start and when does Shabbos finish? I'm not going to go into all the details of what the shita of the Goyin is and what the shita of Rabbeinu Tam is. But at the end of the day, bottom line, according to the shita of the Goyin, night is always earlier than according to the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. And here in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag hamekubal is the shittas agro. Therefore, here in Eretz Yisrael, the minhag is to be mekabel Shabbos according to the shita of the Goyim. It's true, when it comes to Motzei Shabbos, a lot of people, even though they're noeg b'knisas the Shabbos like the Goyim, they're machmir on themselves, they got to be Motzei Shabbos like Rabbeinu Tam. And therefore, as far as they're concerned, Shabbos goes out later. But that's a chumrah. What's the objective truth? There must be an objective truth. The night must stop at one point in time and day starts at one point in time. Day must stop at one point in time and night must start at one point in time. So there must be an objective truth as to when Tzeitzei Kechovim is. Is the objective truth like Rabbeinu Tam, or is the objective truth like the Goyim? I haven't got the faintest idea.
Nobody's got the faintest idea.
But there's no question that somebody who is noeg like the goyim and brings in Shabbos at the time of the goyim and makes motzi Shabbos at the time of the goyim has definitely got on who to be samech. And even if Aliba the Emes will theoretically say the Rabbeinu Tam is correct and the Goyim was wrong, the Shemayim, they can't really do too much to him. Because maximum, he's a Shegeg, and probably it's not even a Shegeg, it's a Shegeg HaKarev La'inus. But somebody who's Noyeg on Erev Shabbos, because he needs to get another 3 cigarettes in, to bring in Shabbos according to Rabbeinu Tam, so Shabbos should come in as late as possible, and a Motzi Shabbos, because he has to get the first cigarette earlier, all of a sudden switches, and on Shabbos he became a Goyimnik. And now he's making Motzi Shabbos earlier according to the Goyim. He'll get slammed from all directions according to the Goyim's Pshat. Why? Because even if it's true that the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam and Shabbos came in later, but if on Motzi Shabbos he was noeg like the Goyim, first of all, he didn't do what was objectively right, because objectively that halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam, if we'll assume that halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam. And second of all, he'll get slammed for something else. He'll get slammed because you were not consistent. You contradicted your own truth. If you determined on Erev Shabbos that the halacha is like Rabbeinu Tam, then be consistent. The minute you lose the consistency, you get slammed for losing the consistency. In the Torah itself, we find a number of examples of this. In the Torah itself, we find that the parasha of Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orin is found in the Torah in what appears to be a parenthesis. It has a inverted nun at the beginning and an inverted nun at the end. And the Gemara asks, why is the parsha of Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orein in parenthesis? To which the Gemara answers, and the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, that really this parsha of Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orein is in the wrong place completely. It should be somewhere else. It should be in the parsha of Degolim, which is at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and not in the 10th Perek of Bamidbar, where it appears. Say Chazal, so why was it put in parenthesis in the wrong place? Say Chazal, it was put there for a reason. Why was it put there for a reason? Kedei lahafzik bein puronus rishoino lepuronus shnio. Because the event that took place before the parsha of Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orein was a negative thing, and the event which took place afterwards was a negative thing. Therefore, the Torah didn't want, as it were, two negative events to follow one the other, so it stuck this Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orein in the middle to separate the two. What was the first negative event that's recorded prior to the Vayhi bin Soya Ha'orein? The pasuk says, "Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloishes yomim," that when they were traveling away from Maimed Har Sinai, they were traveling for 3 days. And Chazal say that "Vayisu mehar Hashem ketinoi kabireach mi beis haSefer," that they were like kids who are running away from school when the bell rings. Chal Yisroel was standing by Maamar Har Sinai, and the Rebbeinu Shlom is giving them mitzvahs. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600, until they get to 613. And then the Rebbeinu Shlom stops. Whoops! The Rebbeinu Shlom says, you can now leave, and they all run like crazy. Why do they run like crazy? Because maybe he'll give another one if we stay around too long. And if we stay too long, maybe he'll give another two. 613 is fine. We don't need any more. What's the Peronius that happens after Vayhi Bimtzayah Ha'arein? The Peronius that happens after Vayhi Bimtzayah Ha'arein, say Chazal, is that Klal Yisrael start complaining bitterly. What are they complaining about? They travel a distance which normally should have taken 11 days. They managed to do it in 3 days. The Rebbeinu Shlom pushed them like crazy. Drove them a distance of 11 days within 3 days. And Klal Yisrael says, this is crazy. There's no day, there's no night, there's men, there's women, there's babies, there's children. We can't travel so fast. L'chur, it's a stickle of time. L'chura, they're right. Why is it a promise? Why is it something negative? We just spent a few hundred years being slaves and having no day and no night. So now that we finally got out, Rebbeinu Shlom, you have to treat us again like slaves and keep pushing us and driving us like crazy. Now, L'chura, the Teretz is posh, but this going, the Teretz is very simple. When Klal Yisrael was standing by Maamar Har Sinai and the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you can now leave, and they all ran like crazy, maybe it was L'shem Shemayim. Why do we have to assume, like Chazal say, that it was Ketine Kebeich Mirech Mibeis HaSeifer? They knew where they were going. The Rebbeinu Shlom had promised them, you will be Mekabel Torah, and what will I do next? I'll take you to Eretz Yisrael. So maybe they were in a rush, they were in a hurry to leave Har Sinai because of Chibas Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael as fast as possible. Says Rebbeinu Shlom, fine, let's see. So he pushes them. A journey which should take 11 days takes 3 days. What do? They will start complaining bitterly. Why are you pushing this so hard? Make it easier a bit. Says Rebbeinu Shlom, huh? It's not Chibas HaOretz. If the reason why you ran away from Har Sinai was because you wanted to get to Eretz Yisrael as fast as possible, then you would be turning around now to me, says Rebbeinu Shlom, and say, push harder. We want to get there faster. If you're complaining that we're traveling too fast, then what are you saying? We've got time to get to Eretz Yisrael. If you've got time to get to Eretz Yisrael, then the reason why you ran away from Har Sinai had nothing at all to do with Chibas Eretz Yisrael. It had to do with Ketinek HaBereach Mibeis HaSeifer. You're missing any consistency. The cheshbon is wrong. The cheshbon doesn't work. Lavan. Interesting guy. Very interesting person. Why? What's the first thing he says? When he thinks that a member of his family has turned up with a lot of money. Come into my house. You worried? Maybe there's Aveda Zara there? Ponesius Abayis, no problem. I took all the Aveda Zara out. Why? It's worth his while to take all the Aveda Zara out. Why? This is a guy from the family of Avram. The last time somebody turned up from the family of Avram, whoa, what he brought with him, the gifts. It's g'day to have the guy in the house. He's a tzaddik, right, love him? He's willing to clear out all his Aveda Zara. Now, you may think he did it for an ulterior motive. No, 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 he didn't do it for an ulterior motive. You may think he did it because, whoa, the last guy who turned up from the family of Avram turned up with all sorts of gifts, so it's worth my while to let him come to heaven. No, 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 he did it because he was a tzaddik. The minute he saw Yaakov, boom, he had a hero tshuva, and he decided to get rid of all his Aveda Zara. Could be. Until what happens? Until Yaakov and Rachel leave. And then he goes chasing after them. And what's he screaming when he chases after them? You stole my Aveda Zara! You stole my trophim! The Cheshbon's wrong. If, when he cleared out the Aveda Zara before Yaakov came into the house, it was because of a sudden hero tshuva, the how come later on he's screaming, where am I trophim? The answer is, the Cheshbon's wrong. That's what the Goyim says. I think that there are two very, very interesting classic examples of this in this week's parasha. When Shimon and Levi kill the Anshei Shechem, Yaakov Avinu is very critical of what they did. But it's very interesting when you look carefully in the Psukim about how Yaakov Avinu criticizes what they did. What does Yaakov Avinu say to them? You messed me up. Why did you mess me up? Because now, the Knaini, the Prizi, the people that we are going to have to live with, they're going to be boiling mad. And they're going to wage war against us. And says Yaakov Avinu, V'ani misay mispo. We're just a small family. V'nesfu alai v'ikuni. And they're going to attack us, and they're much more than we are. V'nishmadati ani u'beisi. And we're going to be wiped out. What do Shimon and Levi respond to Yaakov? Shimon and Levi respond to Yaakov and they say, Hakazoina Yasu es Achisenu. We're a family that carries as its banner what humanity as a whole accepted after the Mabul, but they deteriorated. And we kept strong. And that's Kedusha, Tirat, Snius. So how can we allow a situation like Kazayna Yaseh Achisenu? We can't allow such a situation. So don't come to us with these tainas of they'll wage war against us and they're more than we are and therefore they'll wipe us out. So what should we have done? Ignored what Shechem did? HaKazayna Yaseh Achisenu, we can't ignore it. When you think about it, it's very interesting. Not one word of criticism by Yaakov Avinu about the actual response of Shimon and Levi to the act of Shechem. He doesn't criticize it whatsoever. He just says it was politically incorrect. He doesn't say what you did was wrong. He says it was politically incorrect. It can sometimes be the right thing. It's the right thing at the wrong time. Why? Because we're a minority. Minorities can't do this sort of thing, even though it's correct to do. What does Shimon and Levi respond to him? What do you mean it's politically incorrect? So what do you want us to do? Give up on all the principles that we stand for? Hakazayna yases achisaynu. And Yaakov Avinu doesn't answer them back. There's no response from Yaakov Avinu. So b'pshuto Yaakov Avinu is shlugged up. The hakizayna yases achisaynu. Basically, Yaakov's got no response to that. Varai doesn't say anything in response. And then all of a sudden, in this week's parasha, Yaakov Adinu is dying. And he's calling in his children one by one, and he calls in Shimon and Levi. And what does he say to Shimon and Levi? Arur apom! Cursed should be your anger. All of a sudden, he's going with sugar. On what? On the actual act that they did. The act that you did was an act of caste which has absolutely no justification. If that's his taina, why didn't he say his taina straight away? Why does he wait until he dies before he says the taina? I think the pshat is poshut. Yaakov Avinu knew his kids. Yaakov Avinu knew Shimon Velevi. Shimon Velevi, by nature, were angry people. They were people who responded instinctively. They, by nature, were such. Therefore, when the event happened, however much the actual act in itself could be that it was incorrect, but Yaakov Avinu said to himself, maybe there's a malicious yesher on them, maybe that's the way they are, that's the nature. What do you want from them? That's who they are. Their nature is that they react aggressively to moral wrongs. Vahariah, what are they screaming at me? When I'm explaining to them that politically it wasn't a wise move, what are they saying? We don't care whether it was a wise move or not. Hakazayna yases achisaynu. Moral right comes in front of everything else. That which is morally correct, that's what you have to do. And you have to ignore what the consequences can be. Which is strengthened by Yaakov, the Meritzes Yosha, the Be'emes, Shimon and Levi weren't doing it. Just as an instinctive angry reaction. This was moral anger. But then many years later, another event happened at which Shimon and Levi were also present. And what was that? Mechiras Yosef. And all the brothers are there. And everybody's involved. And Yaakov doesn't hear Shimon Velevi screaming, Hakeeved Yase Acheinu. All of a sudden, this great morality disappears. How come by Dina they're screaming? Hakazoyne yase achisenu, and by Yosef they're quiet. They're not saying ke'eved yase achinu. The Torah says that Yaakov Avinu, that has nothing at all to do with moral fortitude. They by nature are angry and vindicative. Therefore, when somebody chappers Dina, they react violently, And when they think that somebody started that with them, they also react violently. But it has nothing at all to do with moral fortitude. Oror apam. Kiba apam horgavish. It came out of anger. It didn't come out of moral reasoning. Why? Because the cheshbon doesn't shtim. What I just told you, the fianiyas daiti is a chazal. There's a chazal in the Medrash. On the pasuk in this week's parasha, which says Shimon the Levi Achim, says the Medrash something which at first glance makes no meaning whatsoever. It's totally unintelligible. Achim ledina v'loy achim leYosef, say Chazal. Shimon v'Levi achim, achim ledina v'loy achim leYosef. What are Chazal trying to tell us? Exactly what we just said. The killing of Shechem, that didn't come out of achva, that came out of anger. V'haraya, there was a lack of consistency. They showed achva to Dina, but they didn't show achva to Yosef, so therefore the achva to Dina wasn't achva. It was coming from somewhere else. Reuven, say Chazal, had the physical ability to be able to save Yosef. Chazal say he could have put him on his shoulders and ran away with him, and nothing would have happened. He could have pushed, grabbed him away from the other brothers and ran away with him, and nothing would have happened. Why didn't he do it? Because Reuven was a certain type of personality. He wanted to save Yosef. But you don't do things out of anger, out of instinctive reaction. You do things by making a plan. You make a plan. So he had a whole plan, Reuven. He had a whole plan. What was his plan? His plan was that he was going to wait. They'll throw him in the bur, then he'll take them out the bur. He had a whole plan. It misfired. It didn't quite work the way that he wanted it to work. But he had a plan. Do things, but do things in a political way. Do things with a cheshbon. Don't react, just react like that. And because of that, Yosef ends up in Egypt. But he doesn't get blamed for it. He doesn't get blamed for being the person who at the end of the day was the prime cause why Yosef ended up in Egypt. Because if he would have picked him up and run away with him instead of working out all his politics, he would have saved him. No. Because one can justify it. It could have been the Shem Shemayim. He thought that that's the way a person has to act. Don't act instinctively. Don't act. Think things out. Pimusa always, you have to think things out. Says Yaakov Avinu, I don't know, maybe can't be put to blame. Then all of a sudden in this week's parasha he gets slammed by Yaakov before Yaakov dies. What does he get slammed? He gets slammed that Bilbel Yitzuei Aviv. Yet Chazal say that anybody who says that Reuven was chayter is making a mistake. He wasn't chayter. So if he wasn't chayter, why did he get slammed for it? Very simple. Because the cheshbon doesn't work. Objectively, there was nothing wrong in what he did. Als din, Bilbil Yisrael, there was nothing wrong. Kol Mishal Meshe Reuven chayter in Adotaya. But the cheshbon doesn't work. How come when it comes to your mother, all of a sudden you don't think and you go ahead and you do wild things? If it's your nature that everything has to be worked out and everything has to be done with a plan, then how come when it came to your own mother, you also didn't think that way? The Torah says it's not your nature. If it's not your nature, if the cheshbon doesn't shtim, then you get slammed. Not als din, but als cheshbon. Rabbi Yisai, There is not a guy sitting here who has to waste money on a lawyer in the Beis Din Shomayla for the deal. Don't waste money on a lawyer. You guys, you've got it made for you in Beis Din Shomayla when it comes to din. You'll get up there and you'll say, we were retarded and we were this and we grew up in a society and we were... Everything you can think of happened to us. And I have ADD and I have ADHD and I have ADHD, DDD and I have ADHD, EFG, HIJ, KLM, NLP, QRST, UV, WXYZ. I have everything. You don't need lawyers. As far as din is concerned, there's going to be no problem. You know where the problem's going to start? With the cheshbon. That's where the problem's going to start. You have ADD, ADHD, Okay, fine. But you managed to sit 7 hours, right? 7 hours with four cards in front of you with a glazed look on your eyes. All of a sudden, the ADD disappeared. The ADHD disappeared. Or to sit there for 6 hours killing Japanese soldiers. He's dead! Dead! All of a sudden, all these things disappear. That's the way they're going to kill us. On the cheshbon. Not on the din. On the cheshbon. I can't concentrate. Fine. If it's consistent. It's the cheshbon that we have to be worried about, not the din.
Yeah. Stop it, did he? Nope.